Yeah, I need some help.
Small groups?
Hey, anybody? You guys get the small group sign-up sheet? Everybody signed up? They're signing up?
It's right here.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, maybe. I can kind of see. Yeah, kind of. It's kind of all. Well, happy fall, y'all. Weather geek moment again. Fall arrived today at 2:50 a.m. So it's officially fall. Fall's awesome, isn't it? I love fall. It seems like, always seems like there's something in the air. Everybody's a little bit giddy, you know? We got all these festivals coming on. It's fall, y'all. Enjoy it. Y'all? It's fall, y'all. Contraction. You all. Okay, before we get started, will you guys pray for me, and then I'll pray for you, and then we'll dive into this. Father God, we thank you for tonight and all that are gathered, God. I pray that you speak through me, God. I pray it's your words that are spoken, Jesus. As we're going through 2 Peter, God, just I pray somebody gets a nugget tonight, and maybe they'll retain some of the information too, Lord God. So we just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're doing a series, right? Anybody know what it's titled? It's close. So you want to grow, eh? All right, it's in 2 Peter. I was going to pull a joke on you guys and tell you it's in 3 Peter and see how many of you guys caught it. Would you guys even know there's not a 3 Peter? Okay. So that would have been a good one then, right? Okay, maybe I'll save it for the next time. You'll forget by then, so I'll pull it out then. Excuse me. So before we get started, now this is all about growing your faith, okay? We're on this series about growing your faith. So I would imagine everybody in this room would want to grow their faith, right? Is that yeah or yes? Come on, man. You want to grow your faith. Amen? All right. Now we're getting somewhere. So I'll pose the question to you again. Why do you want to grow? There you go. There's several reasons why you want to strengthen your faith, right? So I wrote down just a couple that I shared last time, but I got some different ones this time. Is to learn more about God and grow closer to Him, right? We just sang a song, A Closer Walk with Thee, right? So if you're not growing, how are you going to walk closer to Him, right? You want your faith to mature. You don't want to be a baby Christian all your life, do you? You want to learn about God. You want to know His character. You want to be able to handle relationships and people better, right? That's what God's Word does for us. When we learn, when we read it, when we hear the words, and we apply the words. Okay, you know soap only works when it's applied, right? So if you don't use soap, you're going to be dirty, right? So if you don't read God's word, you're not going to grow any closer to Him. You're not going to know anything about Him. You're barely, I think most of the time, if you're not growing, you're barely saved. If you are saved, it might have been an emotional thing, but if you don't have any interest in growing, you got to wonder, was it just an emotional thing or is it for real? If your faith's for real, you want to do something. You want to do something about it. Anybody experience lean times? Well, it'll make you stronger during those lean times, right? We know God's with us everywhere we go. We know that. But sometimes He seems rather distant. Sometimes we're stuck in our chaotic life. Like, where are you, God? You say you're right here, but I don't see any evidence. But He is. Sometimes He's just working it out. Is that an amen? I'll take it. And another reason to grow is to keep from becoming stagnant. When you continue to grow, your faith won't be stagnant. When you stop growing, that's when it seems like, man, this Christian walk's a bummer. I thought there was more to following God than this. Well, it's like, okay, well, what have you done? God's there with us. He's given us a roadmap to read, to understand, to pray to, that we talked about earlier. It's also to develop our character. Makes us better people, right? We're supposed to be better people. We're supposed to represent Christ everywhere we go. Obviously, that's not easy, right? We all have bad days. We don't get it right every time. We know that. But we're working on it, right? Got to work on it. Anybody think that we're on a great adventure? I think following Jesus is a great adventure. I've been on a pretty good one, really. I mean, we were talking about it on Brown Bag yesterday about the roadmap and things like that. And I would have never predicted we would be in Warrington 10 years ago. I never would have. I would have never dreamt of it because I didn't like Warrington at the time, to be honest with you. It's like, who wants to go there? I don't want to go there. But God led us here. That's why we're here. He led us to Wright City, and we're like, cool, Wright City, that's not too far away. Then all of a sudden it was like, this opened up in Warrington. I'm like, oh, man, Warrington? Really? Okay, God, we're gonna do it. We're going to take the leap of faith and do it again, because it was a leap of faith. We could have easily just said no, right? When we first started, we had no money. We started it when the stock market crashed. We started a ministry. Great time to do it, right? I mean, it was all we could do to buy plastic forks and things like that and paper plates at that time. We had no money, but God always provided. And that was the coolest thing. It's like it always came together, even though we had no money. And when we signed the lease, we're talking to the leasing agent, and he's like, well, how much money do you have? And we're like, none. We're not joking, dude. We have none. Zero. And he's like, you got to be kidding me, right? I was like, no, we're not kidding you. We have some people that are going to join as we do this thing, so it's not completely blind, but we trusted God, went out on a limb, and did it. And I remember signing that lease for the first time. We're looking at each other going, okay, here we go. I can't afford this. I'm barely hanging on with my mortgage. I can't take on this rent if it defaults. Neither could Randy, but we did it anyway. And he's always provided. We've never been late. We've never had any kind of cash flow problem ever. Thank you, Jesus. And you know why? Because we trust him. It's all him. He gets all the glory for everything. We don't take any credit. He uses us. Yes, he uses all of you. But he gets the glory. And we lean on him for everything. That's why growing your faith when you're stepping out and you're doing things is part of growing your faith. You don't want to just sit in a chair forever and do nothing. Because a lot of people do come to church. There's more to church than just coming here. This is part of it. We are the church. The building's just the building. It's just where we gather. The people are the church. But there's more to it than just hanging out for a few hours and then going home, see you next Saturday. There's a lot more to it. And Peter's kind of getting into this thing on what to do to grow your faith, to grow it. So we're starting in 2 Peter. I'm going to start in verse 1 again, and we're going to go through. Now remember, he wrote, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, Peter wrote this to remind us again and again. He says it several times throughout his book, to remind you, before I leave this planet, I want to remind you. So this series is to remind you, okay? You guys with me? Okay. So it says, greetings from Peter. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave of the apostle of Jesus Christ. It says, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. He's talking to the believers. This faith was given to you because of the justice and the fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So who wants more peace in your life? Who wants more grace in your life? To do that, you need to grow your faith. That's how you do it. You don't do it to get, you get it because you're doing it. It's a 42 you because you trust him and you're following him and you're listening to him and you're doing your best, okay? There are days we all have bad days, amen? And you'll like tonight's topic when I get there. Well, I'll just tell you, self-control, okay? Anybody struggle with self-control throughout your life? Right. Yeah, Lynn's the only one, right? Right. I knew there'd be somebody. So by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by our human desires. We can all see what's going on now, right? You'd have to say it's pretty much lack of self-control that's going on now, right? We were talking in group. We used to have a shop teacher. And we grew up high school in the 80s, so it was pretty crazy. And generally, everybody was doing the same thing. And our shop teacher, his motto was, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good to you, do whatever you want to do. So we had a pretty crazy shop class. We had a lot of fun in that class. But, I mean, it was interesting as a leader, if you will, or a teacher to be like that. We also got in a lot of trouble in that class, too, because we didn't have any self-control. Well, we sat in the lacquer booth for an hour, you know, we'd sit there and talk. I was like, you're in the lacquer booth, and all of a sudden you hear this, Harry Berry, Andy Rabbit, get out of the booth. What? Okay. We had a great time in shop class, though. The view of all of this says make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. You see how this kind of builds on itself as it goes? Because we're working on all of these things at the same time. It's not you take care of one, okay, I'm going to be a moral person, and then I'm going to move to the next one. No, you're going to work on all these at the same time because they build off each other. They feed off each other. So our growth is essential. If you want to be closer to Christ, you have to grow. And it, as we see here, he's talking about it starts with faith, and it culminates all the way to the love of others. And I remember being an early Christian, and I remember saying, love others? I barely liked myself at the time. How am I supposed to love others? I don't really care for anybody but what I'm doing, wrapped up in my world, right? Doing my friends, doing what we do. Who cares what everybody else is doing, right? But as you start growing, it starts showing, the word starts pulling things out and shows you what you need to improve on, right? That's what God does. And I remember hearing that in the beginning too. So it's okay if you, let's say you can handle, let's say self-control. Then something else will pop up. Okay, you have that under control, then something else. He keeps revealing things as you go. Yeah. And it's good, right? Because we're growing and we can handle these situations better. So it says here we have to make every effort all the time on a daily basis. We have to make an effort to grow, to do these things. Anybody athletes or played sports of any kind? You know you have to train at least a little bit to participate. You can't just, you know, walk-ons barely get jobs, but occasionally a walk-on can get a job. Most of the time they don't. You have to train and train and train and train and train and train and train. These guys, they're sold out. The pros are sold out to what they're doing. It's unfortunate because some of them, that's all they have throughout their life is their football career or baseball career or whatever. But there are some that are Christians who use that as a platform too, which is really awesome, like Adam Wainwright or whatever. He's using his platform to tell others. He gives his money away, tells everybody about Jesus. So he's got the best of both worlds going on, makes lots of money and gives it all away. How about that? So you guys remember a couple weeks ago I asked you to do a spiritual inventory? Remember that? Anybody remember that?
No.
No. Okay, I'll go back to that. Of these things we just talked about, these seven or eight things here we just talked about, do a mental, spiritual inventory on how you handle these things. Do you have moral excellence? I'll just read these off again. Moral excellence means moral purity, right? Being honest. Your self-sacrifice. You do stuff for others, right? Having integrity. These things build your character, right? Knowledge. You learn to know God through his word. You learn to know what it says. Self-control is being led by the Holy Spirit. You control yourself. Patient endurance is enduring when things get tough. Don't give up. Don't give up, guys. It's going to get tough. The word even tells us that. It's going to get tough. So if you think you're a Christian, it's going to be okie dokie, it's not. I don't want to discourage you, but you have a target on your back now. You're on God's team now. You've switched teams. So the devil knows that. And he's going to throw everything at you on a continuous basis to separate you from God. That's his job. His job is to move us away from God. And when he throws those doubts, then we start losing self-control. We start doing the things that we used to do. The old man creeps in again. We're going to fight the old man till we die. Right? The two natures are butting heads. It's not our nature to do good all the time. And Satan knows that, so he's going to come in and attack us all the time. Godliness is our behavior. Does our behavior represent Jesus? Do you represent Christ when you go places? This is part of your spiritual inventory. Do you do that? Do you maybe share a high five in Jesus' name or even a kind word? In this society we live in now, a kind word goes a long way. You'd be surprised. Even if you smile at somebody sometimes, it's like the greatest thing to them. You know, it's like, wow, somebody acknowledge I even exist. Because there's a lot of lonely people. There's a lot of downtrodden, beaten people. They put on the smile, yeah, but you can see through it a lot of times. Even if you just talk to them for a second, you'll uncover some things. They'll start talking to you. Sometimes they just want somebody to listen. You don't even have to give them any advice. Just listen, and they'll come full circle a lot of times. But it's like, wow, thanks for listening. It meant a lot. Brotherly affection. How well do you treat other Christians? Do you support them? Do you tear them down? Make fun of them? Do you insult them? How do we treat other Christians? They're on our team, guys. Christians, we're all on the same team. Even if we're in a different denomination, it doesn't matter. If they believe in Jesus Christ, we're all brothers and sisters. And we should treat each other like that. Although the family gets crazy, we can all say that, right? We all have families. I remember fighting with my brother when we were growing up. Out of control a lot of times. So love for everyone is divine love. But these actions, they take discipline. It takes training to be able to handle these things. But we have the Holy Spirit. When we said yes to Jesus, we were born again, we got the Holy Spirit. Okay, the whole thing is to walk in the Spirit. The natural man, remember, he's against the spirit man. So we have the spirit living in us, but he's in turmoil all the time with the natural guy. And some days you wake up, you don't want to be spirit guy. You want to be natural man. If we're honest, right? We try not to, but it's a war. We're in a spiritual war, guys. You believe it? Yes. We are. And again, that's why life is so hard here on earth. It's tough, man. And it seems like it's just getting tougher. But when we're growing our faith, we can stand during these times. And we know where we're going. We're assured, right? We might wonder how it's all going to play out. But it's written how it's going to play out. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. I don't want to be negative, but it's written how it's going to happen. You know? I hope we're all out of here before it gets to some of the stuff in Revelation. I hope that. You know? Because we don't want to turn on each other, because Scripture says brother against brother, sister against sister. They're going to turn. People are going to lose their faith when it gets bad. That's why if you have strong faith, you can weather the storm. You can weather the storm. It's hard. But you have to trust Jesus is in control of everything, all the time. Like I said earlier, sometimes it gets, you wonder, it's like, well, where are you, God? You see some of this stuff on TV and you're just like, I don't understand it. Especially children, when things happen to children, that bugs me. That's a soft spot for me. I hate that. And a lot of times I think negative things that I shouldn't think about that person. But God loves them too. They just have to repent for what they did. And even that doesn't make sense sometimes because the natural man wants to get revenge. You know? It's kind of how we were brought up, right? You do it to me, I'm going to do it back. Maybe even worse. Even pranks. We used to do pranks on each other all the time, but they always escalated. You know, it starts off little, ends up huge. It's like you always try to one-up each other, you know? That's just how we're wired, I guess. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And he gives us the responsibility to learn, too. God loves us, but he wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. Learn about me. Step out in your faith. Do something. So tonight I'm going to speak a little bit about self-control. So self-control is not easy. Amen? And that can happen in anything, right? Whether it's food or gambling or pornography or whatever you're into that you get out of control. It's easy to do. Anger is a big one. I mean, we also, just being stressed out, little things set you off, temper, things like that, language. I mean, it can be anything. Anything that you lose your mind. We were at Home Depot the other day, and this guy ahead of us, he just had a small item. It was a piece of drywall, I think it was, wasn't it, or something? It doesn't matter. It was like $10. So he used his company credit card. Well, there was a new person using the register, and he'd been coming here for years using the company card. He gave him the company card. Well, they denied the company card. It's like, your name's not on a card. I'm not going to take it. Well, he was the new guy, and he didn't know this guy. He loses his mind. He's yelling and shouting, and I was like, oh, here we go. Made a fool of himself. Kind of felt sorry for the guy in a way. I was just like, wow, dude, if you saw how you looked. And he was loud-mouthing all the way out the door. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I was like, if you could only see yourself, man, you would, you'd be laughing too. It's just like, and to see people do that in public is crazy. You know, I mean, you see it in bars when people have their beer muscles on. You see that kind of stuff. That's expected at a bar. People get crazy and they think they're Superman or whatever. And everything makes them angry. You either have two kinds. Two kinds of drunk. Either have the angry drunk or the love you man guy. Hanging all over you. I love you, man. Get off me. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you guys know because you guys are all laughing, so you've either been that guy or you've experienced that guy. All right? It's been a long time since I've been in that situation, but... But the opposite of self-control is like self-indulgence, right? And that's the world we live in. Again, if it feels good, do it. That's kind of what they seems like they're doing, is whatever. Whatever. And it's funny how it's flipped, how good has become evil and evil has become good. And they're trying to sell us that. And we're haters because we're going, no, that's not right. That's upside down. That's not right. And they're telling us, yes, it is. Well, we're making a stand. No, we're not. We're going to go for that. We're not buying that. Right? So we stay strong in our faith. Otherwise, we'll start going, you know, that doesn't sound that bad. Well, when you start unwrapping some of these things they give you, it's evil. It's downright evil. But they sugarcoat it to lure the people on the fringes that really aren't sound enough to even know what's going on. And they'll just sow that little seed out there, and they keep sowing it. You know, if you tell a lie enough, it becomes truth. You actually believe the lie. If you continue the lie, the lie, the lie, the lie, the lie, next thing you know, it's your reality. That's what you think it is. Oh, yeah, it happened that way. No, it didn't. But you believe it did. So the lie is, that's how it comes. All right, so we have to supplement our faith with self-control. We have to be alert spiritually. If you're not awake, chances are you're not going to be growing your faith. You're just kind of trucking along. You're going to be the downtrodden people. Now, I'm not saying that's not going to happen, because there are times where it just seems like the whole world has just come down on you. And you have off times. But we battle back. The thing is, don't stay there. Go back to the book. If it's been a while, read the Bible. Read whatever situation you're dealing with, because there's answers for everything in here. Everything you can think of is in here. Somewhere you'll find it. And most of it is very encouraging. Here's how you deal with this situation you're dealing with. All you have to do is look. And if you don't know, dig a little deeper. Just keep digging, because there's commentaries that can help you. There's the Word, obviously. There's other people that have experienced what you're going through for help. That's why we have groups and things like that. You know, speaking of group, Wednesday night, we all came to the conclusion that self-control, self, is not good. Ourselves, we can't control ourselves. We can only control ourselves through the Holy Spirit, right? Because every time natural man shows up, we start doing whatever the flesh desires. That's just how it goes. That's why we have to have our guard up. We have to stay in control with the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own for very long. You might be able to handle a situation, but you need God, Holy Spirit, to help you get through it. And He will. So I've narrowed these down a little bit. There, like I said, there's all kinds of topics. There's all different ways to go, but I just chose a few of these things to, I feel, that we do have control over, and with the Spirit, we can conquer these things. The first one would be your temper. Anybody have a hot temper? Come on. Am I the only one? I used to worse. I would get angry, throw things, punch the wall. I mean, just zero to 1,000. That's God wired me like a Power Glide transmission. I only have first and second. Slow, full blast. I'm working on that too. So it's a process, right? But I think we can control our temper. That's one thing I think we can get a hold of. And that's kind of, I would say, basic Christianity. That you could, these things, we have power to handle. So let's look at Proverbs 29:11. Fools vent their anger, but the wise man holds it back. That guy was a fool in Home Depot. He was just letting it rip and made a complete fool of himself. In fact, it was pretty entertaining, if I'm honest. But like I said, I felt sorry for him too, because like obviously he didn't know. But why would we want to lose our look like a fool? It's hard enough as it is, right? So when we blow up, not saying we won't, because we will, but we can try to control it. Think for a second. Let the Holy Spirit, listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Just wait a second. Take a deep breath. And what's the second half say? Quietly hold it back. Not easy. It's never easy. Sometimes you can see the smoke coming out your ears because you're not saying anything. It's like, Lord, help me, because I am freaking out. I'm freaking out over here, God. Help me. Right. So you just take a breath. Step back for a second. Process. Don't react. Because if you do, chances are it's going to be an overreaction. 99 times when you react that fast, it's an overreaction. A lot of times it's just small stuff. But small things build on themselves, and eventually it's like a volcano, it explodes. So that's one thing I think we can do. Oh, go to James 1:19 real quick. 19 through 21. I love this one too. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Listen. You get that? Listen. mean, shut your yapper for a second. Be slow to speak, okay? And slow to get angry. Slow. Think about it for a second. A lot of people don't. The art of listening, I think, is gone. This world we live in, everybody wants to talk. It's like their idea is better. I don't even want to hear the end of your sentence. I'm already jumping on the next thing. That's just how it is now. It seems like everywhere you go, it's the same thing. It's like, wow, I didn't get my sentence out. Okay, well, whatever. You ask me a question, I'm giving you an answer, and then you're already changing it. So, okay. Again, slow to speak. I just listen. Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Think about that. Human anger, the way we get angry and we blow up and we throw things and stuff like that, does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. The word has the power to save your soul. So think about that. So next time you get angry, which in this world probably won't be long, think about it. Just think for a second. Just let it percolate a little bit. See, the whole thing with relationships and stuff like that is you work things out. Okay? Especially in church when we try to do things. Things happen. Personalities rub up against each other, but we're on the same team. And we have to play well with others, okay? That's just how it is. God wants us to get along, to do what he wants done. And he's using us to do these fun things that we're doing. So we have to be united. We have to, for lack of a better word, put up with each other. That's just how it is. But in a group setting, there's always a few that may overreact to situations sometimes. So we're learning to deal with those situations. That's the whole thing, is to learn and to deal with it. And lighten up, because it may not go your way. It's okay. Let's work it out, though. Let's don't run off, get angry, spout off, whatever, post stupid stuff on Facebook. Come on, man. Let's work it out, right? We work it out because we love each other. That's what we're supposed to do. This whole thing starts from your faith, goes all the way to loving others. That's a pretty big jump, right? But if we grow in these things, and it's important to grow, we can do this. The second one, you guys will like this one, is the tongue. Woo! I've met some varsity cussers. Worked for a few. Some really good ones, like, wow, dude. Every sentence starts off like that? Woo! And I just met you like 30 seconds ago. That's great. How do you know that I don't talk like that? Years ago, I used to. But that's just common language now. It's weird how our society, they just spout off. Telling stories and all that, and you're like, wow, okay. They don't know. Obviously, they're not Christians. But you might get angry and you might spout off, but repent if you do it. Let's go to James 3:2. James has a lot to say about temper and tongue and stuff like that. Said that indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and also control ourselves in every way. Think about that. If we could just control our tongue. You've heard the story, well, it's actually in James 2 when he's talking about the small rudder steers a giant ship. Our tongue can do a lot of damage. A lot of damage. It can really set people back by spouting off something stupid, hurting somebody. But it can also encourage the heck out of people when done the right way. Right? Good speech, being kind to each other, saying kind words. But man, you can really do some damage if you're not careful. So don't be careless with what you say. Sometimes when you get angry, you say things you don't mean, and sometimes you get so far out, there's no coming back. That person's hurt. And it goes past being offended. You hurt them deeply. where they may not want to ever even talk to you ever again because of that. And you said it out of anger. So if we can control our temper and our anger and our tongue, we should be a lot better people, right? So the untamed tongue, came across a few things in the study too, is gossip. Think about that. If you're gossiping all the time, that's an untamed tongue. You're speaking ill of people. Did you hear what's going on over there? Let me tell you what's going on over there. You have those people too. They're in every group. You have people that are constantly insulting everything that's going on. They seem to have a better plan for everything. And we're thinking, well, if you're so good at everything that's going on, then why don't you do the whole thing? Go create your own church and do everything your way, and then maybe you'll see it's not as easy as you think it is. I say a lot of this because I'm working on a lot of this stuff too, okay? I am so far from perfection on any of this, I'll tell you. But I'm working on it. It's funny because I went to Ecclesay today on the way here. They were having a get-together there. They're catfish fry. Well, I knew a couple guys there. Tim invited me, so I stopped by. I saw Richard there. And he's like, hey, what's up? I go, I'm just popping in. I just want to say hi to these guys, and I'm just hanging around for a few minutes. So I'm going to go. And he goes, oh, yeah, who's speaking tonight? And I said, I am. He goes, what are you speaking on? I go, self-control. And he's like, oh, man, seriously? He goes, like, I'm glad I won't be there. It's like, he goes, but I am getting better. I said, that's good. We're all supposed to be on the potter's wheel getting better, okay? Untamed tongue, bragging all the time. You're so good at this. You're better than everybody else. Lying. Lying's probably the biggest one. You couldn't tell a truth to save your life. Come on, man. Or even teaching what is false. And this is what Peter's talking about later on, because they were under some heavy persecution at the time. And he's talking about the false teachers that were coming. In the end, those false teachers are coming. And they're already trying, because they're sowing these things in our school, and they're sowing these things in our government, and they're sowing these seeds, and the false teachers are coming. And Peter's warning us of that. So the third one I put down was time. What do you do with your time? Sleep a lot. Do you volunteer? How do you live? Are you trying to live the same way you act when you're in here? Not saying you're perfect, because nobody is. We know that. But are you trying so it's a balance, so it's not like Jekyll and Hyde? Are you trying to be the same person everywhere you go? That's our goal, is try to be the same person, you know? And it's not easy. We know that. We're struggling with all of this stuff. We're to be an example everywhere we go. Be an example. Be kind of hard to be an example of a Christian when you're losing your mind on Home Depot or something, right? Not saying it won't happen, but we try to control ourselves from that. So we need to be an example. Don't live like fools live, where they do what feels good and they don't care about anything but themselves. Our whole society has turned into selfishness. It's all about them. It's what I want. And they'll use people to get what they want. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Don't want to live like fools. Make the most out of every opportunity that you're presented. We all have opportunities all the time. People come into your life. There's a reason why they show up out of the blue. There's a reason why you might bump into somebody at Home Depot or QT or wherever you go. If your eyes are open and you are alert, you'll see it. Anybody been in one of those things before? When God just shows up out of the blue? Praying for people? It's pretty crazy when God shows up at different times. You know, luckily for us, we have a job that we could take our time and be with somebody. Like if we meet somebody at Home Depot, or we go to the same one a lot in O'Fallon, so we're getting to know a lot of them. And one of them, you know, Debbie, we talk to her all the time. She's always asking about you. But It's kind of cool because you get past the small talk a little bit with some of them. You know, they're asking about church and they're asking about how's your life going, and we could talk a little bit because we have the time to talk just a little bit. Not all day, but there are times. We've prayed with people in the parking lot, stuff like that. Not bragging, just saying God showed up, and you just start talking to them, and people just melt sometimes when they find out somebody cares. And then you say, hey, man, there's a better way. And then you got them then. They start listening. And then you can share a little bit. And I don't know how many people we've seen break down crying. It's awesome when the Spirit shows up and gets a hold of it. It is amazing. It is amazing. So we're to be an example everywhere we go. Make the most out of every opportunity. That's in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, making the most out of every opportunity. So let's go to Galatians 5, 16 real quick. This is a good one too. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Remember, if the Holy Spirit's guiding your life, you can do all these things. You will grow at all these areas if you're walking in the Spirit, meaning you let God control your life, right? Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Think about that. If you let the Spirit guide your life, then you won't be out of control doing the sinful nature things. Because the sinful nature craves constantly. Whatever we struggle with, it's always there. Remember, we have an enemy, and he hates us. And he's doing everything he can to keep us separated from God. That's what makes it so hard. It's like, we know we win in the end, right? We just have to hang on till we make it. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Spirit wants to do good all the time. And you will do good more times than not if you're walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit gives us the desire that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Think about that. Now you have something that you want to do as opposed to doing things you shouldn't be doing. The two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. We're at war, the good guy against the bad guy, all the time. White dog against the black dog, which one are you going to feed? Right? Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to live. If you're going to feed your sinful nature, then you're going to be far from God. Most likely you're going to wander off. If you're feeding the Spirit, then you're going to be closer to God. And when you're presented with the storms of life, or whatever you're going through right now, you're going to be able to handle it better. You're going to be able to handle your relationships better. You're going to be able to handle people better. You're going to be able to just really enjoy life. It's okay. It's okay. So, Christ is glorified when we exercise self-control. Think about that. Even when you do the small things, kind words, you help somebody with a flat tire, you whatever it may be, do laundry for people or visit somebody in a nursing home that hasn't had somebody visit them in quite a while. When you have self-control, I think it puts a smile on God's face. It's like, okay, they're in the game and they're trying. He knows we're not going to get it perfect all the time. He knows that already. But he gives us the Spirit to at least try. He gives us the power. He gives us the strength to try. I think that's all he's asking is just try, because when you do, you get these things in abundance. Right? So here's a couple ways to help us with self-control. First thing you have to do is renew your mind. You guys knew that was coming. We talk about this every time we're up here. We talk about reading God's Word. You have to be in God's Word. You have to. It's your daily bread. Think about it. If you're a trainer and you don't take in any calories, you're going to burn out, right? You won't have the strength long if you're not feeding yourself. A fire goes out when you don't put wood on it, right? If you're not constantly feeding the fire, it will go out. It just dies. Your faith will go way low if you don't feed it. It's like that dried up plant that we had that illustration months ago how it looked when it was dead and then when it came back to life. It's imperative that you renew your mind daily. That's in Romans 12 too. That's a popular verse. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help you. Pray, God, I need your help. He's given us the Spirit. Exercise the Spirit. Pray. Kind of like Zach said, we've seen a lot of miracles. People's lives change through prayer. One of the best ones, Beth, was the one you had with your brother. Was your brother having the flight thing? And you posted it on the prayer line? That was so awesome. I'm driving down the highway and I'm praying. And then you texted just a couple minutes later, hallelujah, it worked out. Just like that. That's one of those kind that, like you said, McDonald's, you just checked that one and it worked. He didn't have to wait 3 days in an airport somewhere. God's people were praying and it worked. So we know prayer works. Confess your bad habits to God. If you're struggling with something, confess it to God. Repent. He'll forgive you for it, but he wants you to change. He wants you to get closer to him. If you get closer to him, that bad habit will go away. Might take a long time, but it will go away. This one's kind of like recovery kind of thing too, is identify and remove triggers that may set your old self off. Stay away from things that you lose control. Whatever it is, whether it's eating too much or being angry or you're addicted to something or whatever it is you're struggling with, try to remove the triggers that set you off. And then praise God in his grace. For when we're weak, he's strong. Right? So when we're weak and we're weighted down and we come to Jesus and say, I need help, he's coming to help. All we have to do is let him. That's the hardest part, is letting God in. It's like, I got this, God. It's a tornado, but I got this. We want to hang on for some reason. I guess it's just our human nature to do that. But when we let it go and God gets a hold of it, things change and they work out. Worry is not good. Everybody knows that, right? You know, the funny thing about worry is, a lot of times, none of it ever happens. You're worried something's going to happen or not happen, and you get all worked up as a few days pass along, and if you're praying about it, it doesn't even happen. It wasn't even close to what you thought it was going to work out. The whole time you were so worried this was going to happen, and it's not. It never did. That's why worry is just, got to work on it, because I was the same way. I used to worry a lot about everything. It was like, how are we going to make ends meet? This and that and this and that. And God always provides. He always provides. Okay, so back to verse 8. I want to read this. Control thyself. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you grow like this, all these things we just talked about, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've even been cleansed from their old sins. The old man came back, or the old girl came back. Remember what he's done for you. And that takes a lot of time, too. Understanding the gift that you have received, your salvation, is a big deal. And it takes a while to unwrap that gift and go, wow, I understand. But you'll never understand if you don't dig into it, the Word, and learn and grow. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and he has chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Never fall away. If you're doing these things, if you're growing, you will never fall away. You will have lean times. That's just part of the walk. And it's a long, long walk. Winding roads, there's pitfalls, potholes, rumble strips, whatever you want to call it. There's trouble ahead, is all I can tell you. But if we're growing, we can handle it when it comes. Amen? So in the end, Make every effort and continue to grow. Continue to grow. Try to keep from being complacent or stagnant in your faith. Amen? And that's all. So I want to pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for all that are gathered here, God. I pray that you be with all the people that are ill or traveling, God. And I just pray that you be with us as we go home tonight. Keep us all safe. And we thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you that you love us enough that you want us to grow. So help us all, God. Strengthen us, Lord. And let us enjoy our weekend. We love you, God, and we thank you. Amen.